So the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation is conducting a 1956 history project. 64 years ago, a large army of 20,000 took part in the 1956 march to the Union Buildings, the big women's march. It was led by Lillian Ngoy, Helen Joseph, Rahima Musa, and Sophie Williams de Brain. During the march, the women chanted, "You strike a woman, you strike a rock." The women were from different racial groups, clad in colorful regalia. Some were carrying their babies on their backs. The question is, okay, so that's 64 years ago. Where are the women now? On the line is Nompendula Mkatshwa, board member at the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation. Nompendula, welcome to 702 and happy Women's Day Part 2.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Right, so take us through this project. It's so interesting. 20,000 women marching, 64 years ago, and you're trying to trace them.
How do we trace them? Is that what you said?
In other words, take us through your project. What exactly are you doing?
Okay, thank you. So good morning to all your listeners this morning. And again, happy Women's Day or happy Women's Month to all women. And we know that under the scourge of gender-based violence, it's often very difficult to appreciate times like this. But I think times like this and initiatives like the roll call of honor of all the women who participated in the 1956 march are a reminder of the formidable strength of women to overcome very difficult times and to ultimately overcome the patriarchal nature of our society. So to speak to the roll call of honor of the 1956 participants of the Women's March, the roll call of honor basically seeks to reach out to society to help us identify all the women who are part and parcel of the 1956 march. As you had said, you know, when you started off, you said the leaders were Lillian Ngoy, Helen Joseph, Rahima Musa, Sophie Debrain, and the likes, and, you know, also Albertina Sisulu has also been recorded to have been part and parcel of the leadership. But, you know, movements have so many elements to them. There's someone who was responsible for mobilizing in her community somewhere. There was someone who was responsible for making sure the buses got there. Someone who was responsible for conscientizing women in their community on why it's important for the past laws to be contested. There was someone perhaps who was responsible for making sure that people ate. Maybe they gathered fruits or something to sustain themselves throughout the day. You know, there was a lot that went into, there's a lot generally that goes into putting together a movement. And I think it's very important that we sort of capture the role that everyone has sort of played. You know, I actually go as far to say, just being there without any responsibility, but just to arrive, is in itself also something to narrate. And how did it feel for you to be part and parcel of this collective? So that's basically what the initiative is about. It's about gathering we know about approximately 5 women, right?
Yeah.
Who are part and parcel of this march. But there are about 20,000 women who were there that day. And in enriching our history, it would be great to find out the perspective, the stories of those women, package them and archive them. So that's basically what the initiative is about.
It's very interesting because you're quite right, 20,000 women. But in those days, it was a scary time. If, say, for instance, you stood up and you said, "I'm going to protest against apartheid. I'm going to go for equal rights for women," there was a very good chance that you may have been arrested. So people took a massive chance. Look, there were 20,000 women, which means that perhaps they couldn't arrest 20,000. But you were taking a chance, weren't you?
Absolutely. And that's what goes with being an activist, right? So someone asked me yesterday, you know, what recognition are they going to get or something along those lines. And I said, you know, when you're an activist, you go into it with the ultimate, your reward is going to be change. Your reward is going to be the outcomes of whatever you're advocating for. You don't expect to be thanked. In fact, if someone thanks you for what you've done, you're like, "Oh, great, thank you." But the ultimate reward is to see change and progress on the matter that you're protesting for. So, I mean, for those women to have come out, you know, during that era, I mean, even today, protesting is it's a risk.
Yeah.
Even today, under a democratic era, and we've been contesting this, right, as activists, to say we need to find a way where our systems are not built in such a way that, you know, you ultimately need people to be on the street in order for them to be heard. And two, when we are protesting, we want a police system or a security cluster that will be able to adequately handle a collective of protesters in a democratic way without bridging on their rights to protest. Mm. You know? So I can only imagine how much of a risk it was in 1956 to come out as a black woman, a woman of color, and say enough is enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how can we not garner strength from you know, their actions as the 1956 generation?
It was good as well, because this 1956 march was also an early show of racial unity. It also had people of other races standing up and saying, no, this isn't right. It just showed way back then the level of thinking of people that way back then there were a course for change in this country.
Absolutely. So that then goes to, if women in 1956, and we saw it throughout the liberation movement, the struggle for our freedom or our democracy, at times when collectives from different races came together and said, you know what, we want to live in a socially cohesive South Africa, and we want a non-racial South Africa, which is what Uncle Cathy, the veteran Ahmed Kathrada, stood for. You know, and so, I mean, if in 1956 they were able to come together across races, it then puts us in a very tight spot as South Africans today to say, how are we not able to overcome our racial disparities? How are we still having children in schools having to stand up and say, I'm black, and that's nothing that you ought to use to discriminate upon me? How do we still have kids in 2020 still speaking up against racial microaggression?
Yeah.
It's absolute, like, poppycock. And I think we really need to spend some time as Africans across various organizations, be it faith-based organizations, be it schools, business, you know, everyone, come together and social compact on the importance of us reaching a point where we're socially cohesive and socially connected.
How do you do that, though? The marches we have today seem to be less effective. We have a common enemy. We've got GBV. We have got corruption. But how can we make these marches, these protests, more effective? Because there just doesn't seem to be that effectiveness of 1956.
I think what's important, look, there have been times when we've seen how when we come together in our great numbers, there is change that is brought about from 1956, from 1976. I mean, as a student activist, even when the media didn't cover our protest actions, there were times when students, we would protest against something, be it a silent protest, be it a hunger strike, and there would be positive outcomes. There are generations today where they've marched for example, free education. There have been quite positive outcomes that have come out of that. GBV, the president then called together during the summit. I think the response to the protest action is becomes positive, but the implementation of the concessions that are made is a crisis, and the sustainability of the concessions that are made is a crisis. So as a country, we have great policies that have often come out of the progressive actions of collectives. But we need to get to a point where those policies, the paperwork, the blueprint, becomes effectively, efficiently, and sustainably implemented. Otherwise, we're not going to bear the fruits, right? So it's like doing patchwork. It's like patching a scar or a sore, but not ultimately. I'm not a doctor, but not ultimately, you know, getting the whatever infection is in the actual sore out, and, you know, really just getting it into top shape. You know, so I think that's what we're struggling with. I really think that we're greatly struggling with sustainable implementation, and that also speaks to social role, right? So I often speak to children when I go out into school, and I say to them, whilst your educators will advocate for, you to be best at math and science in order for you to become an engineer. I would really love for you to understand that when you become best at your engineering, that you understand that when you get that tender from government to build a bridge, to build a road, to build a school, you do it with an understanding that you are contributing to the growth of your country, not because you want to make money out of it.
Yeah, well, that's because exactly it. You see, no, that's exactly it.
You can have a brilliant mind who's going to then, when the government gives them 20,000 to build a road, they spend like 5,000 building the road. And we don't want, we want a generation that's going to come in with the same zeal as Mom Lillian Goyi, Helen Joseph, and the other 20,000 women who are part of that march, and say, we want to restore selflessness and integrity in our society.
Couldn't agree more. Dom Pendula Mkhai, happy Women's Day Part 2, board member of the Ahmed Katrada Foundation. Have a great day.
Ray, before we go, can I just remind everyone where to make their submissions? For,
absolutely, go for it.
The 20,000 women. All right, so we have the Ahmed Katrada Foundation's website. So you can go to it. It's katradafoundation.org. But if you're sending through an email, please send the email through to info@katradafoundation.org. And the subject line could be 1956 Roll Call of Honor. Please, your aunts, your sisters, your grandmothers, who are part of it, bring their names forward. And any other organizations that are doing similar work, any centers of studies across the country, universities, can they please support and make those submissions?
In other words, get involved, Dom Pendula Mkhatshwa. Great to have you on 702. You've got no excuse, but you have to get involved.